Good morning out there. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord is our portion. He's our prize, and he is glorious, sitting on the throne of our hearts, no matter what the weather looks like, no matter what kind of day it is. We're just blessed to be here. So I'm Hannah. We'll be hosting the morning show. We got Roger producing in there. With
That's
his
right.
his very well-known Superman hat. And then we got Brother Josh in here, as always, on Tuesday. How are you, Brother Josh?
I'm doing all right, Sister Hannah. Good to be here today. I told Roger when I walked in, I said, it ain't Sunday morning, because I'm used to seeing him on Sunday morning at 7:30. So anyway, but no, it's a great day. Great day, hopefully, to be alive and to do the Lord's work. So I'm excited about this morning and, you know, excited about what the Lord, you're doing right now within a region, that's for sure.
So. Amen. Amen. Well, it was just so funny because my little brother, he likes superheroes and stuff, Brett. And he saw Roger at church one day he was not in church, but he was outside of the church eating his donut or something with his Superman hat. And he kept saying, oh, Mom, it's Superman. It's Superman. So he thought Roger was Superman.
That's pretty awesome. That's great. I bet that made Roger feel real good, right? Yeah. So,
just so cute.
That's great.
But yes, if you all would like to interact with us this morning, Pastor Aaron, I know normally he gets the text messages from everybody, but we'll put our numbers out there.
That's
too.
Right.
My number is 270-589-7933, and you can text me throughout the broadcast. If you have, we love interaction. We love interaction. We don't want it to stop whenever Aaron's
That's
gone.
That's it. That's it.
Because it just keeps the broadcast flowing, and it's just so good to hear from everybody. People have such good insight on scripture and such good questions and comments, and it's just, we're a family here. So
that's right.
270-589-7933 is my number. You can text, and then
I've got a number, 270-230-5924, and like I said, I have still not got all my contacts transferred over, so sometimes when somebody's been texting me here lately, I've got to read in between the lines. Okay, who is that? Yep, all right, I think I know who you are. So anyway, if you text me, you can text me at any time, and I know we'd love to hear from you this morning.
Yeah, and same for me. You know, there might be a few numbers that I don't already have if you're used to texting Pastor Aaron. So just say your name, and
that's right.
We'll get
that's
you
right.
saved. And, and
yep.
Well, that'll... Jesus will get you saved, but we'll get your numbers.
That's good, ain't it? Yeah, that's it. But yeah, we'll save your number in our phone so next time we'll know who we're talking to.
Yes.
So we got. I'm excited about the guest this morning, Brother Johnny Ray Tipton from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I know you said he was calling in at 8:30, correct?
Yes.
So
yes.
That sounds great.
I believe, let me see here. I believe that it's a call in.
Yeah. Of course,
he's located kind of farther.
Yeah,
out.
He's about I don't know, 3.5 hours away probably. But I know this past weekend though, he was actually preaching in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. So I'm excited to hear about those meetings and stuff down there. So, and also he's been someone that's preached several times there at the river during the revival, West Kentucky revival, and he's been coming up to Madger for the last. Well, I've been at Madder for 23 years, and I know I've known him probably for like 22 years, but Brother Billy has known him and his family since like back in the 80s. So
is he, is that Brother Lance has preached there too?
Yep, with those same ones. And Brother Lance has actually been at Brother Johnny Ray Tipton's church as well. And they have, I think, a meeting the last Friday of every month, I think. And normally he has either Brother Johnny Ray's preached there. Brother Lance preached there a couple of times, and just different ones that, you know, it's I guess not really weird or nothing, but it's like when you get connected with a group of pastors or a group of preachers, it's like, hey, we want others to hear you too. So come on over to the church. And so I'm thankful for how the bodies works and how everything linked up together. It ain't just about
Amen.
Right here where I'm at, but it's about all over, you know. So you think about those states here, Tennessee, you think about even Georgia, even, you know, Alabama, just different ones in this specific region area. With Brother Zach, he goes to North Carolina. You know, it's just how everybody right around here right now in the last few months is, you know, we're expanding our territory. So
yeah,
I think it's pretty.
And
good.
I think it's awesome how passionate they are about souls, winning souls.
Yeah.
I know that with Brother Lance, and I would say anyone connected yeah. with Brother Lance, and you know that mission is yeah. just to see so many souls harvested for the kingdom.
Amen.
And you know, we were reading a verse yesterday of in Proverbs that whoever captures souls is wise.
Yep.
And you know, it honestly it makes me think of you, Brother Josh, and it made me think of some of the people that I know that are just so passionate about souls.
Yeah.
And that word capture, I was like, you know, you think of soul winning, but capturing, I think, is more than the invitation. Capturing is like they're in.
That's right.
Like That's you're right. bringing them into the fold. Like,
yeah.
you know, it takes Jesus. They have to surrender to Jesus to be in the kingdom. But once they are, capturing to me is like
yep.
they're being discipled.
Yeah.
They're being, you know, they're getting connected with yeah. the body. And that's what I think is special about churches like Madrid and
well, thank you.
And local churches that are, you know, being able to disciple the ones that maybe are getting saved at these
right.
tent yeah, revivals
there you go.
Or the
there
ones
you go.
That are getting saved yeah. at the, you know, the Harvest Crusades and yep. stuff. So I love to see Brother Lance and different ministers connect with smaller bodies.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I think that's how the kingdom should be set up.
Right.
Is we, the evangelists need to be connected with the pastors and then to get everybody into a community
right.
once they're saved.
Right. So. And I mean, he said it before, and I mean, he said he believes that the next great move of God is going to start in rural America.
Yeah.
Not where everybody else thinks it's going to be at. Because
yeah.
it's people that really are behind the scenes or in the shadows and really nobody knows about, but that's where it's really going to start.
Yeah.
It's not, it's oftentimes when the Lord does something, it's not where everybody thinks it is.
Uh-huh.
Because of why? Because he's a great big God and he's not going to just, you know, he's going to pour out his spirit upon those that are hungry.
Because he confounds the wise.
That's right. That's right. So when you thought about capturing, I thought about the verse of scripture said, go out, compel them to come in.
Mm-hmm.
That word compel means you more or less drag them in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, so when you say capture, well, you ain't going to capture me, Lord. It's when I want to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the world don't care to capture people. The world don't care to capture men. So why can't we have that same mentality? Say, hey, listen, no, we're going to capture you to give you something that's eternal life. Amen.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's Amen. What I thought about when you said that word capture.
Amen.
That, so.
Well, speaking of capturing some souls, we have a lot of VBSs coming
yeah, we
up,
got it going on.
And that's our prayers for these VBS is to see souls saved and to capture them. Even if they don't make that decision that day, to get those seeds planted, to captivate their mind and their heart
right.
And for Jesus. And so the New Life Vision VBS there with Pastor Chris McGuffin and his church, that will be Thursday, July the 18th, so here coming up through the 20th. So the 18th and the 19th will start at 5:30 Eastern time. And then on that Saturday, it will begin at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So that's we have the address for that. It's Hoover Hollow Road, Eastview, Kentucky. For that VBS, if you're looking for a VBS during this coming week. And then there's also our VBS coming up here at Bethel, Breaker Rock Beach, standing, teaching the kids about standing on the truth of God's word and how God's word never changes. And then that will be, so July 23rd, that's a Tuesday through the 27th. So Monday through Friday of that, of next week, that will be starting registration at 5:30 and then the actual VBS will be from 6 to 8:30, so it'll be over at 8:30, and then that's central time, of course. And then Saturday is our like big commencement day. They get to do their songs and get their certificates, and I think Pastor Aaron will say a few words. And the last year we had an opportunity for altar call and different things like that. So we'll have that ceremony type service. And then after that, we'll transition into, I think they said they had bouncy house again.
Oh man.
I think they said they had some bouncy slides or something like that, or an obstacle course. I don't know. I just help with it. I don't know the details of that, but, that will be there. So that will last until 7 p.m. that day, so it'll be like a family fun day is what they would call it. And also we ask that that you keep up with your kids that day.
Because
that's a day for family. It's kind of a day for the workers to spend time with the families and not have to as much be babysitting, but but get to actually interact with families and take care of some other things behind the scenes that we, you know, wouldn't be able to as a team throughout the week because we're keeping up with our kids. So or with your kids, they're not our kids, but that's going to be a really good day, and it's a great day for family to be able to spend time with the church community and your kids. So, and then
are you going to be doing the praise and worship again?
Yes. Brother Todd Mingus and me, we did that last year, and we're going to do it again. So he's a little more prepared because he starts practicing these songs for Honduras.
Yeah.
And he learns all the moves backwards. So he puts like a mirror in front of the videos, and he learns the moves backwards from what you would normally do just looking at a screen, so that he can do the exact moves that they're doing when the kids are looking at him.
Wow.
So that the kids can actually follow his moves and do it right.
My goodness,
so
man.
He's dedicated.
His heart's into it for real.
It is. And so we're excited for that. And we have like a different song for each one of them that they're going to do. So. Yeah. That it'll be fun. I like doing it with Brother Todd because, you know, I wouldn't have expected that out of him.
Yep.
And he didn't expect it out of himself because the story was that he went to the Honduras VBS with that organization he went with, and he was expecting to be serving in a different way. But then it ended up that he said, well, I'll do anything except for the dance and the... the words in the song. And then what did he end up getting put in?
He ended up
the dance songs.
Yeah.
And then he realized that he loved it.
Wow.
So he really did. So.
And I guess he'll be going again in Honduras in a few months,
yes,
right?
Yes, in December. So that's the cool thing is that I don't know how much that he's able to use, but he's normally able to reuse some of the things that we have from
that's
this.
Great
because they do the same. Lifeway is the one that puts out these themes, so they always use in Honduras the same theme that we're doing.
It's great.
So it works out really cool. And then I just love the body of Christ because even other churches use the same, the Lifeway theme. So like there's a church I know in Louisville that we got supplies from last year after they were done with theirs, and I'm pretty sure they used the same one this year. So it's like it's kind of a connection that we're building and a relationship through VBS too, being able to reuse these things.
Right.
And I think it's cool, so cool in the body of Christ to be able to help each other out like that. So.
Yeah, when you have a bigger church that has maybe, I don't know, resources to do things like that, then they say, all right, we're done with it, so we want to help somebody else out.
Yes.
We'll just give it to them.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that's
and then things aren't getting wasted because people put so much time into these things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people who just hand make a lot of it, and so it's going to be awesome. But the most important thing we're excited for is really souls to be changed.
That's right. And I know that's our main objective. And I'm thinking about how when there's so much preparation, and sometimes think about now, of course, on Sunday mornings when our children go back in the back to be with Sunday school, my mother-in-law, my wife, you know, they do our Sunday school program, and they put so much effort and time into that. My mother-in-law just back there in the back, she just got stuff everywhere, how she's worked on it. And I'm like, well, we're done with that. Or she said, well, I'm done with that. That's okay. I'll just put... She said, no, don't get rid of it. I mean, I can use that another time. She won't let you know. She's like, no, don't get rid of it. So I got a lot of time in that. So, and I mean, you know, when you get your hand to it, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to see nothing go wrong with
go
it.
Go to waste.
Yeah. So.
That's awesome. I really believe, you know, I heard someone talking about how, I don't even know who was talking about it, but I get all my people that I'm listening to mixed up because I'm always around ministers or someone, but they were talking about how in this season right now that we're in, that children's ministers and youth pastors are some of the most important jobs that you could have in the kingdom.
Yes.
Because of the condition that our world is in, the condition that our church has been in the past seasons, and the need to train up this next generation.
Yep.
So it was just, I was like, wow, that is so true. And and I just respect our children's pastors, ministers, youth leaders so much. And I know you were in that.
Yeah.
You've seen both ends of it, Brother Josh.
Yeah.
So.
I know I got started, me and Sister Rachel, we got started here at Bethel, really, and teaching Wednesday nights. I think we had the 8 to 10-year-olds, And I mean, we had an amazing, you know, time there for a little bit, and then we transitioned from here. We went to Madrid and done the youth there, and now pastor at Madrid. So yeah. Anyway, so
it just it's making a difference. So we appreciate you, youth leaders and children's teachers
That's
and
right.
ministers. Okay, so the Emmanuel Ministry Church camp meeting, won't forget that, Friday, August 2nd through the 3rd, 6:30 p.m. with Brother Trent, Philip Trent. And then they also put out an invitation to join them on Sunday mornings at 10:30. And that's there in Horse Cave, Kentucky, at the Emmanuel Church Ministry.
Sounds all right. So, I want to go ahead and give out also, I went last night to a Gospel Light Missionary Baptist Church there in Caneyville. And they got revival going on all week. So if you're in that area, I mean, it was a great service last night. It really was. I think the pastor's name is Brother Joe Blanton. And, it was a great service last night. And so if you're in that area, I encourage you to go out because it starts at 7 o'clock each night. So if you're able to go, I mean, I'm sure you'd be blessed, and they'd be more than welcome to have you. So.
Awesome.
I thought it was a pretty good night, great night last night.
That's awesome. You know, I'm not very familiar with Caneyville, so I like hearing about these churches because, like, I've definitely seen churches, but I think the only churches I've ever been to is Southside.
Yep.
And then Wilson
Kingdom
Home
yeah.
and Kingdom First.
Yep, right.
Yeah, so those, I don't think I've ever been.
Well, of course, I'm sure people listening right now, well, Caneyville ain't very big, but think about it is, to be honest with you, Brother Mike Hales, who goes down there, was like, he's been up to Madrid. We was raised together, and he come to Bethel. He's my family,
uh-huh.
and so that's where him and his family goes to church, and he teaches Sunday school there. And so even though I knew that if I ran around Caneyville, it wouldn't take 5 minutes, you know what I'm saying? But on the way there, I was like, all right, you got to remind me where this church is at. So he told me about where it was at. So it's there by the railroad track where the old ballpark is.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's about where it's at.
I know where that is.
Anyway.
Yeah. I grew up playing ball. So.
Yeah. And I remember as a kid, I remember playing Little League Baseball at that field.
Really?
And, our team at that time won that tournament. It wasn't because of me in baseball, because I did not play. I was not a good baseball player.
That's what Ethan says, and he loves basketball, but he always said, he said baseball wasn't really for me.
Baseball wasn't my thing. I'm like Brother Ethan, I'm telling you.
He said he was okay. He wasn't the best on the team, so
I'm
it was
sorry.
Boring to him.
I wasn't okay. I see some of the guys. Actually, I was on a great team, and we won quite a bit of stuff. The Cubs is who I was on, I remember. And I would tell some of the guys now that I see out that I played with, I said, I bet I was the best bench warmer you ever had.
You're the water boy.
That's right. I'd say, listen, you got to know your position. Just do it. And I knew my position. I just done it. So
that's funny.
Anyway,
that's good.
And they laugh. Oh, you did? You got that one hit? I said, yeah, one hit in 3 years. Yep, you're right. I did. Oh, man. So.
Yeah, we focus on the wins.
Part of the team. That's when you say, I'm part of that team. You
oh,
know
yeah,
what I'm saying? Don't,
yeah.
don't worry about what, maybe I didn't do this or didn't do that, but still yet, I'm part of the team. And so I use that a lot. I really do.
I mean, that is true in our
I really
walk.
Do. Even in the kingdom,
in
I do.
In the kingdom.
So I talk about people. I'll say, well, I can't do this. I can't do that. I say, well, I couldn't hit the ball. I couldn't run fast. I couldn't do that. But guess what? I was still part of the team.
Yeah.
And when we all rejoiced for winning, guess what? Everybody gave me a high five and everything, and we just
yep.
crowded around. We're still part of a team. So
amen.
That's how it is.
And if we're a part of Jesus' team, then we actually get to share in that joy
yeah,
of the things
right.
that are accomplished for the kingdom.
Amen.
Just like sowing into the kingdom. Even if we're not the ones carrying out what's going to happen, the Lord used our seed
that's right.
to be able to multiply that
yep.
too. So amen. Well, let's get into some James.
Let's go for it.
James chapter 3, verse 13. So, earthly and heavenly wisdom is the little subheading in my Bible.
Yep, I got true.
Oh, we're
yep.
all King James this morning.
Oh, man. I got true wisdom comes from God, so it sounds like we're on the right track, right?
Brother Aaron leaves us alone, and we got King James for you, listeners. So we have some people rejoicing, saying hallelujah, and we might have some people, oh, man. No. Probably a lot of people rejoicing.
I know we love to pick fun. Do like that, but anyway, that's
oh, if Miss Kelly's listening, she's like, shouting the house down. She will.
Oh, man.
Okay, so verse 13. Do you want to read, Brother Josh?
I sure will. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? All right, that's a question now. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. All right, so we're setting the stage here. Who, and Hannah, I often tell people, ain't nobody probably going to say that they're a wise person. Ain't nobody probably going to say just flat out, well, I'm a wise person, or I'm a, you know, I'm perfect or something like that. I mean, there's no way that I would say that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I want people to understand that in the kingdom of God, you're either for him or you're against him. Mm-hmm. You're either in or you're out. There's no in between. So you're either wise or not wise.
Mm-hmm.
You're either a faithful servant or you're not a faithful servant. All right. So this is what it's saying. Who among you? Who is wise? All right. Let him. And this is what it say. Well, yes, I'm a man of God. You're a woman of God. You're somebody that does the work of God. So it's almost like, yes, that's me. All right. Then it goes into saying, all right, then let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. See, I believe that's very key, because so many people want to say, look what I did, or look what I did. But the word says, show it with how? Meekness. It says, hey, it's not within yourself. But sometimes we see, and I mean, that's a sad thing about it, though. You hear a lot of people, and you just talk about, well, I just don't like how they do this, how they think it's about them. And often I say, well, it's not about them. I don't care what anybody says. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. It's about Jesus. And so that's why, I mean, it's very important here for it to use wisdom in everything that we do. So,
yeah, but that's so true. And then out of a good conversation.
Yeah.
At first I was thinking I was reading conversion, but it does say conversation.
It says conversation there, yeah. Doesn't it?
So I think that kind of goes, that builds off of what it just talked about with our words.
Yeah. So
the power of our words.
That's right.
And that's what's going to show that wisdom, is through our conversation.
Amen.
Being
Amen.
Seasoned with salt. And yeah, that's really good.
Well, let's see, going. A lot of people, you talking about conversation, I'm reminded about even 2 weeks ago, okay? There's this gentleman that a guy at our church knows, and he's a young gentleman. I think he's like 23, 24 years old. And he's just been praying for him and been talking to him. And he said, Josh, is there any way you can talk to him? I said, sure. I said, anytime you want. And he said, well, I want to bring him to church one night, and we'll just come over there and talk. And I was thinking about conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not really, I'm praying about it and things like that. But as far as always wanting the scripture to bound in my life in a way where I don't necessarily have to have my Bible or my phone to discuss word. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And so that way people knows I'm coming from the heart.
Yeah.
So I began to converse with him. I said, okay, you know, I just talked about the Lord or what he means in my life. And then after that happened, you know, he's like, man, I ain't never heard it like that before. It's like, thank you very much. And I don't know if it's done him any good or not, because I haven't seen him since. But then again, we see where even just last week, somebody calls me over the blue, said, hey, I've got to talk. I feel like the Lord is talking to me. And so then there's somebody that's been to our church one time, and they know me, and they say, can we come and just talk to you? We want to have, and that's exactly what they said. They said, I need to converse with somebody about what's going on in my life. So
yeah.
It's almost like people just need to, and oftentimes, Hannah, I say, Lord, I don't even know if I helped you or not. They say, well, you helped me big time because you just listened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the times I think I got to talk. Even now, I'm sorry that I'm talking over you,
no.
Hannah. But what I'm saying is that we think that we've always got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people just need an ear to hear.
Yeah.
Just need an ear for you to listen to.
Yeah.
No, sometimes we get bombarded with this, we get bombarded with that. But sometimes it's just great to have somebody to talk to
mm-hmm.
in our conversation. And I know Jesus is the one mainly that I must pray to.
Oh, yeah.
But still yet, there's people in our life that we must have the opportunity to converse with, to what to build the wisdom and the knowledge inside of our life. So when we get in situations like this, it'll just come natural to us.
Yeah. So. Well, that's kind of like in the kingdom corner today, that there's wisdom in the counsel of many.
Good.
And which the version I have words it a little bit different.
Yeah.
But It's so true. And in that same chapter, chapter 11, it talks about, too, how whoever is wise basically does not use many words, like is not a person of constant talking. Whoever is wise will choose their words. And sometimes the person who speaks the less is the wisest.
Yep.
Because it's being slow to speak.
Yep.
Quick to listen.
Come on.
So, yeah, I completely agree.
Rachel said, that's me right there, LOL.
Seriously. So, I mean, think about, it says to be wise as serpents.
Yeah.
Think about a serpent.
Wow.
They're sitting back. Like, they're not meddling in all of the stuff. Right. They're not in every single conversation. Like, they're sitting back.
Yeah.
And that's what I think of when I think of someone who is, you know, soaks things in, an introvert, that I guess the word that we would use.
Yeah.
Someone that's sitting back and soaking everything in. There is wisdom in that because you're absorbing everything. You're looking at everything before you speak on it.
Right.
You're thinking before you put something out.
Yep.
And honestly, you know, I think that people who are of few words actually in our society are not looked at as highly.
Come on.
In the world we live in.
Right.
And even, I guess, really a lot of our church communities, because, you know, we have joy and we want to fellowship and things like that. But honestly, when it comes to the Bible and what it, you know, what I've read about our words and how we'll be justified or condemned, I mean, I think that's pretty wise to be a person of fewer words, because you are being careful with your words.
Right, right. And that's exactly, I mean, my wife said that's me, but me and my daughter, we always tease one another. And like when Rachel says something, I said, people listen. Because, you know, she don't really talk all the time. But it's almost like when she says something either on Facebook or whatever, I believe her words has weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she goes to post something, I'll text my daughter. I'll say, well, Mom's getting ready to explode Facebook right now. She's going to get likes and all that. So we say, hey, look, Mom ain't had a post on Facebook for 5 minutes and she's already got 300 likes. What about that? You know, just going on or whatever. But, I mean, that's exactly. And I want our words, whatever we say, to have weight.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Amen. Well, maybe we can get to the second
verse.
Yeah,
let's go to one more anyway. We're on track, Hannah. We're on track. We got one or two
Roger,
today.
While we're doing this, can you get that? Can you get that trivia list ready for us? Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I don't have it in the room with me. Okay, if you want to go ahead and read that second
one. Yeah, I'll read it. It says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Lord, if that was ever a truer verse right now for people lying against the truth, it'd probably be right now.
Mm.
And I mean, it'd probably be right now. So. But it says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, I mean, because a lot of people probably has that within their heart.
Mm-hmm.
So then it says, if you have that, it says, glory not and lie not against the truth, because a lot of bitterness holds people in their heart, and therefore it holds it in their heart. And if it's something that's held there, it causes you to lie against the truth. But it says, hold it not, that you lie not against the truth.
Wow.
Because you don't need to lie against it. Because if we lie against that, we're required of it. And so that's exactly about talking about our heart, talking about, you know, what we have inside of our heart will come out. So.
And then it says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish, or demonic.
Man.
And, you know, that reminds me of when they lied to the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Because the Holy Spirit is the truth.
Yeah,
like, you're lying against the essence of truth right
there.
Come
on now. Yeah.
And that's what that reminds me of, because, I mean, how can you lie against the truth?
That's exactly right. Amen.
The truth knows. I mean, the Holy Spirit knows. The Lord knows whenever we're lying. He knows our heart.
Yeah.
So at that point, our heart, bitter envying and strife, you know, they said that Satan had filled their heart.
Right.
And then it says that wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish.
Yep, that's exactly right. Because, I mean, so many times we see people that are trying to do their own thing, or trying to go against the Word of God, going against truth. And that wisdom right there, if you go against the Word of God, is nothing but what it says right there, devilish.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's very tempting to go ahead and read more, but we are at 7:30, so I'm sure Aaron will like to pick back up there, because then it talks about the every evil work, and then goes into the wisdom from the Lord. So
that's right. That's right.
It'll be good.
It'll be real good.
So I'm going to tab us at 16.
All right, then. All right.
All right. Well, we're at 7:30, so we got our Tuesday question number one. Who was the Roman governor in Caesarea who left Paul in prison? Who was the Roman governor in Caesarea who left Paul in prison? 270-257-2689. And we will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Did we get an answer for that? No. Roger looks so sad.
He is.
He wanted so
bad. Knows it. We asked him, said, you knew that? He said, nah, I know it.
He wanted so bad to get a call.
Come
and
on,
now
somebody.
I think I see a tear over there on his cheek.
And if you keep saying that, somebody's got to call in right now. Repeat the question. Somebody's got to call for Roger.
Oh, my gosh. Who was the Roman governor in Caesarea who left Paul in prison? Roger has this memorized, so he doesn't even have to have the paper.
No.
All right. If you call in, you can get entered in. You can be entered into that, the spinny wheel to get the prize for this next time.
I mean, who wants to make Roger smile this morning? I believe that if somebody calls in, it's going to make Roger smile this morning.
Never seen Superman so sad.
I know it. I know it. So, anyway.
Well, I guess, this break has flown by. I guess it's time for Kingdom Corner. But if you all want to call in during, because Roger, he doesn't speak much in there. So
that's
if you want to call in any time during this next segment, 270-257-2689.
Phone lines are open. So.
And we do, we're excited about our guest calling in at 8:30.
It's awesome. Brother Johnny Ray Tipton from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He's pastor of Bible Church of Jesus. So great things going on there as well. So excited to hear from him. Haven't heard from him in a while. So I see his stuff on Facebook, and actually I've got a few things that I've took a picture of on his Facebook page that I want to ask him about, because it's great words that he puts out there and stuff, and just the on-time word. So I may get into that as well. So.
Awesome. Okay.
So we're ready for Kingdom Corner, right?
Yep. Kingdom Corner. I'm in Proverbs chapter 11. And then I'm jumping from verse 21. That's the first verse I'm going to read. And then I'm going to go to 24 and 25. So be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. So there's so much here. Honestly, this whole chapter 11 of Proverbs is really based on the law of, let me see if I can say it right, reciprocity, I think that's how you say it, about sowing and reaping.
Wow.
You reap what you sow.
I got you.
And so that's consistent throughout this whole chapter of, you know, what you're giving is what you're going to reap from.
One
gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. And we all know that our motivation is not to give to get.
That's
but
right.
We can't ignore the law and the principle that's
exactly
in here.
Right.
And so that's why we see these things happening. But I want to go back to the first verse. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. And so generational blessings is what the Lord was speaking to me here. Generational blessings are so powerful. That literally the offspring of the righteous will be delivered.
Yeah.
Not because of anything that the offspring did, but because of, that'll preach right there.
Come on now.
Because we're offspring of Jesus.
That's right.
It's not because of anything that we did, but it's because of what the righteous before us did.
Yeah.
And it does not mean that because Jesus paid the price, because our grandma received Jesus, that we're automatically saved, born
again.
Come on
now.
We know these things, but it does talk about a generational ripple effect of these blessings and the deliverance of the offspring of the ones who made the decision.
Right.
This is breaking generational curses. This is setting, not just breaking the curse, but setting the course of the blessings. And I just think that this is so powerful, because if every generation would look towards their offspring,
yep,
would look towards the next generation and start sowing these things now, that they're not even ever going to reap from. They're not ever going to maybe ever see the fruit of it, but the ones down the line are going to.
That's right.
And they're going to be set up to keep going farther and farther in the kingdom and growing closer to the Lord. And it's not just about, I think when we read this, we can't just think about like riches.
Right.
Even though it does talk about riches here. And with more resources, you can reach a lot.
Right.
You can use it for the kingdom, and the Lord can multiply that.
Yep.
So, I mean, I do believe that the Lord wants us to leave a legacy of inheritance when it comes to resources, because so that He can use that for His kingdom.
Amen.
Because, you know, our finances are His ultimately.
That's
right. You know, what's His is ours, and what's ours is His. We're in a marriage here with Him. You know, But I just see it here as that legacy of spiritual righteousness and blessings, and then also even the natural. And it's just powerful. And so I found this definition of leadership. It's the definition of the spiritual gift of leadership, which I believe goes hand in hand with what we're talking about here. Because as a family and a the person that's sowing this righteousness would be the parents or the grandparents, which are the leaders of those families.
Yep.
And the same thing goes for churches, local churches, the leaders, the pastors, the ones who are in position. So the definition of leadership, the spiritual gift of leadership is given by God to men and women who will help the church grow and thrive beyond their current generation.
Wow.
So I just loved that, because that is what leadership is all about. It's not about the current generation. You know, the Lord wants us to receive. He wants us to be transformed and receive everything that He has for us. That's true. But we have to, I believe, leading the point of the gift of leadership is exactly what this is saying, to help the next generation thrive.
Amen.
And so all that doesn't only look like paying attention to the young. It does mean that we need to focus on the younger generation.
Come on.
But even the older, like even the parents in the church, we can sow into the next generations by making sure and to pray and disciple the parents to start leaving that legacy in their own families.
That's right.
Because what people are doing at home is going to matter so much more, because you're at home the whole week. You're at church a few times of the week.
Yeah.
So it's going to matter so much. And so it's just, I just love it. I just love it. I love this scripture. And so, that's pretty much the Kingdom Corner wrapped up. Whoever brings a blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered.
That's right.
So we did get a trivia answer for that question. So I've heard a few different phones ringing in.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was like, hey, you may want to go ahead and say we got an answer.
Because we had some more phones ringing in. We do have an answer. That was David Hicks. He got it. And that was Felix found in Acts chapter 24, verse 27. So, but we still have another question this morning.
That's right.
So all these phones that have been ringing, call back for the second.
Have it on ready, speed dial, dialed, and ready to press the green button when we give it in here a little bit. So, David Hicks, he's part of the class of 2000, the remnant here at Bethel Christian School. So me and him graduated together, grew up together, so thankful he's listening this morning. So,
and isn't that cool that they graduated in 2000, I was born in 2000. So it's the generations coming together.
That's right, that's right. So
the coming together and then being sent out. So that goes along with the corner. But I just think that that's so true. And even outside of the church, like even this principle imagine if this principle was really going on in our nation.
Yeah.
Too. Like, if our leaders of our country were focusing on what legacy are we leaving to the next generation.
That's right.
Right now, we're not seeing too much of that.
Yep.
But in the past, we've had some great leaders of our nation who have really looked out for the next generation. And that's why we have a lot of the freedom that we have right now.
Right.
And
that's exactly right.
We're very thankful for that. And it's the same thing in the kingdom.
Yeah. And we need to know what we are leaving for our future. And so, you know, you was thinking about future generations. I'm thinking about even yesterday, we know in the Republican Party, there was a vice president that was named with Donald Trump. And this gentleman's name is J.D. Vance. And he's a younger gentleman. He's somebody's like, well, I'm glad he's getting somebody younger. I think I'm kind of trying to look it up to make sure, but I believe he's even 39 years old. So, I mean, I believe, or somebody text me and make sure if I'm right or wrong. But what I'm saying is understanding that, hey, you know, I know that those that have been older, you say, well, they know a little bit more. But then I like the younger ones also that says, all right, from this time on, I want to make a stand and this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful even for you, Hannah. I mean, I think a lot of people that your age right now may be under the mindset, well, I'm out of school. I want to go do my own thing and then we'll see what happens. But not you. Not you and Brother Ethan that has, you know, said, hey, no, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're doing the thing for the Lord. So knowing that and I got confirmation, yes, he is 39. But knowing that it's for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And knowing for your future generations. Yeah. And I often say, everybody says, well, I didn't have it like maybe you did. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have people in my life like you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, I mean this, I said it's got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So why not with you?
Yeah.
You know, people that maybe, because I think about, you know, I hate to keep saying this, but, you know, even my family as well, my mom and dad, my granny, my great-grandmother, you know, was a praying woman. And I mean, I remember here probably about 3 or 4 years ago, my granny calling in talking about my Uncle Larry, my great Uncle Larry that goes to our church now, and prayed many a prayer for her family. And see, as a result, guess what? Even though she passed away many years ago, her prayers never died.
Yeah.
And because of her prayer, guess what? Her son is now a great man of God and going to our church and just doing great things for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I mean, even tonight, you know, he's been coming on Tuesday nights praying and stuff. If the doors are, and if he's not there, he always sends me a text. You say, well, and sometimes I do that and say, why do people send you texts? I said, listen, it's about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
It's about knowing, hey, I just want you to know where I'm at, you know, so you don't worry about me.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I desire that. I want that. I mean, and if you do or don't, ain't like I'm going to think bad about your, you know, other about you. But still, yeah, when people do that, I just kind of, to be honest with you, tear up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you know, they're just saying, hey, sorry, man, not going to be there tonight, but pray for me. And knowing that that's a generational thing that is, I tell people all the time, I say, look, everybody says, man, I appreciate the words you're preaching. I appreciate this. I say, look. I said, the Lord has done something inside of us all. I said, I had a great pastor and Brother Ron. I've got a great pastor and Brother Billy, you know, for all my life. I've been raised in the way, but the thing about it is I had to make a commitment. And think if I don't preach and do the truth, not only is the Lord going to come after me, but I believe I have an army coming after me.
That's
because, you know what I'm saying? Because they know that there's something greater in us than what we think it is.
Yeah.
So when people go away, I believe what the problem is done, and even myself, Hannah, a lot of times, I've allowed people to say, well, one day they'll come back. Well, that's not my job to go talk to them. Well, then whose is it? If we say, well, that's not my job, then whose is it? You know, even myself, I say that. And I tell you a lot of times at church, I say, look, I might be preaching to you, I might be leading you, I might be doing those things, but the Lord has dealt with me in these situations as well as preparing for this. So if I'm not going to do it, who's going to do it? So somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to say, all right, my generation may not have been in the past been all that well and good, but from this point on, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Start to speak those things.
And, yeah, it really does because, you know, even those who are in a place that have community, like, I'll be the first one to say, like, everybody goes through a journey. And honestly, the people might not know this, but the majority of my life, and I think a lot of people have this testimony, growing up, you know, in public school system, it depends on where you're at. The Lord blesses some communities with, like, in different generations with a bigger group of believers, maybe in the school systems. And I'm believing that for the future, that there's going to be lots more believers in the public school systems of kids. But in my generation, there weren't, I couldn't find really anyone in my own age that was serving the Lord. So for pretty much my whole growing up, like through middle school, high school, and even beginning of college, I didn't have a community.
Yeah.
I really didn't. And at church there was, but there wasn't a whole lot the same age. And so when that happens, you know, you do have to make a choice. It's either you blend in with a crowd that is completely not serving the Lord and not like-minded, or you're going to be willing to kind of go without some friends.
Yeah.
If it means walking with the Lord. And so I'm thankful, and I think this happens, and I'm bringing this back around, because if there's somebody who maybe you don't have a community, or maybe growing up you didn't have a community, don't think that the rest of your life you're going to be in that spot.
That's right.
Because
that's good.
If you stay good faithful word. To the Lord, what he showed me was I did have to walk through times where I was serving the Lord, and I had times where I wasn't serving the Lord, and I gave in to the peer pressures, and I did hang out with people I shouldn't have in school, because I was, you know, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to walk this walk without friends. But he showed me in college that if I would pray and believe and I would serve him, even when nobody else was around, then he would surround, he would give me that community. If I would be faithful to him, he would be faithful to me.
Wow.
And give me the desires of my heart and the community that would help me grow. And that's exactly what he's done.
Yeah.
But sometimes we do have to walk in that wilderness by ourselves with us and the Lord. And
come on.
And I think a lot of people have been through that. But don't think you're always going to be there.
It's
if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about all these different seasons.
That's
right. And I know people make fun of the whole season talk. Like, have you seen those videos of, it's like every girl that's a Christian is like, it's just not my season. Or it's just a season right now. And like, people make fun of that, like the way that we say that.
Right.
But it's biblical. It's the truth. There is a season for everything.
Right.
And those seasons are only last so long.
Right.
And I love that. I love that even the four seasons of the weather of the earth that we're living in.
Yep.
Summer doesn't last forever. I know some people are upset about that. Some people don't like that. Winter doesn't last forever. And you know what? I'm thankful for the seasons, because who wants winter to last forever?
Right. That's exactly right. I mean,
I would hate to live in some of the places that it does last forever. But what I'm saying is, we got to trust the Lord, and we have to start looking and keeping our hope in him.
Right.
In every season, and trust that season will pass.
Right.
And he will bring us to the places that we need to be, but we have to be faithful to him.
Yeah.
And
Hannah, let me ask you this question. I don't know if it's happened to you or not, but growing up in high school, of course, y'all went to church and stuff, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do remember that Maddie, oftentimes, of course, to be honest with you, it's not about dragging people to church. I don't want to get that, but we were... You know, we were committed.
Yeah.
We were committed. So we would go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. You know, but as she began to get older, some of her friends would say, you just went to church. You're going again tonight? You're going again tonight?
Yeah.
You mean you go to Thursday night too? I mean, and so then she'd come back here. And then I remember her being older, and she said, do I have to go tonight? And he's like, well, what are you going to do? So she said, well, I got homework. I said, all right, you can stay home tonight. And then at the end of the day, I mean, I actually think it was probably because some of her friends, when they said, what are you doing tonight, that she would always say, well, I'm going to church. And then some of them say, you're going again? Why? And so, but that's something, I don't know if you battled that as well, but what I'm saying is the mindset of most is like, well, what do you mean you're going again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you mean? You know, it's because that's what we do.
Yeah, a lot of my friends, and the Lord, he did, you know, place some people around me that they weren't necessarily leading me astray, but maybe, you know, they weren't walking the same way that I was or living the same way. But yeah, people, most of the people that I knew were Sunday mornings, and sometimes not every Sunday morning.
And I'm not sitting here saying that, oh, you got to go to more than just Sunday morning. The Lord knows our heart.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
It's not about, yeah, if we're doing it to check the box, then our heart's in the wrong spot anyway. But I do think that there's something about keeping your kids in church. I'm completely for, if you keep yourself in an environment that is uplifting, even if you don't have many close friends in that church, or you're not really connected with a whole lot of people personally, like, I'm so thankful for the churches that I was a part of growing up, because you know what, I was the one that, if there weren't people my own age that I felt like were doing, you know, were like-minded, I'd hang out with the adults.
I would
hang out with people my mom's age at church, or I would come to the Bible study with the adults. And was I perfect? No, I still went through things, but I know that it kept me on a better path than what I would have been if I wouldn't have been around that council of
so
many.
Was there certain, there was probably certain ones within the church there that was your mom's age, mm-hmm. that you, like, you know, that's who you kind of wanted to be around.
Yeah.
Did you think there were so much, you thought, man, they're cooler than my mom, maybe at a certain time?
Probably.
I know that my daughter did probably some too, but like when some of the other kids would come around me and Rachel and tell Maddie, man, your parents are cool, she would hate that. I mean, she would hate that. Man, I love your parents or something like that. I mean, they're from Moshe. They like you all better than they like me. So.
No, I will be honest. Like, I've always thought that My mom has always been very young at heart, I guess because she's had so many kids that she's had to stay young at heart. So I have always thought that my mom was pretty cool. But
I can't, and I'm sorry, I ain't got this number program, but it says,
no,
my Kaylee
ahead.
Gets asked a lot, y'all going to church again? Why? She tells them, because she gets asked from other children, I guess. She tells them, my mom wants us to always be ready for the bridegroom that's coming.
So amen.
I thought that's pretty good. That's pretty awesome.
I wonder if that's, well, I won't guess the Kaylee. There's several Kaylees I know.
But. I know I should know that number, and I'm so sorry I don't, but they'll probably text me back right now. You should know this. So anyway, but I think it's so powerful. It's Nicole. I'm sorry, Nicole.
That's what I was thinking. Right, I was thinking it might be Nicole.
Yep.
So. No, but that's so true, because even, like, it's all about the seeds being planted. Like, the more that your kids are at church, the more that your family, it's not just kids, the more that your whole family's at church, the more that the seeds are going to be planted, people are going to be there to keep you accountable, other people, because some kids don't feel comfortable telling their parents everything.
Yep.
So that's why there's wisdom in the council of many. You can go to other trusted people that are in the church. So.
Yep. So, I mean, and I mean, that's just what... But to be able to look back in that years from now and say, yeah, I was able to stand up when everybody thought it was weird, everybody thought I was crazy, but now they realize, hey, maybe you had it right. No, it ain't about maybe we got it right. It's about if we're living for Jesus, guess what? That's the right way.
Yeah.
That's the right way. It's not about the, just like last night, you know, we kept talking about, you know, I went to a missionary Baptist church. They had a great service. It's not about the name over the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what's in our heart, and about knowing that, you know, that understanding that this is something great. And I know the kids, there was teenagers down there, and there was one teenager, I couldn't even begin to tell you who it was, but I mean, he said it, there was two of them, actually, there was a guy that was playing guitar, and he just, I mean, the Lord got a hold of him, he just started testifying, started saying, you know, what he wanted to be closer to the Lord and do things that he, I mean, just was a great testimony. And then there was a girl, about a teenager probably, in the audience that also done the same thing. Got up and just, I mean, you know, just a powerful testimony. And that's what we need right now for the children to rise up greater than what I even was, greater than what we've ever seen before.
Yeah. So. Amen.
But anyway, so we're at our 8 o'clock
break. We're right
break.
At the break. Yep. So we get to read that second trivia. Question, what happened to the Philistines' idol Dagon when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into its temple? What happened to the Philistines' idol Dagon when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into its temple? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. And did we get an answer for that trivia question? We did not. So.
Man, they want to leave Roger hanging.
They do. They want to do it like during the talking just to change it up there.
I think, Roger, we got...
Oh, nobody got it right.
Oh, yeah, I got you. That's right. Yeah, we do got an answer, right? Just nobody's giving
it
right.
Oh, gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha. Yeah. Okay, well, what happened to the Philistines' idol Dagon when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into its temple?
All right.
So, y'all got this. 270-257-2689.
Yeah, and we have a little bit change of plans this morning on the
yes.
fly, right? And so, Brother Johnny Ray has texted in and called in. And, of course, he works at a place down there in Tennessee, and an emergency on a job has happened, and he's not going to be able to call in today. But it's worked out, though, right?
Yes, it's worked out. We actually were planning to have Les N. Downs call in with her newest release. And so she's was going to call in at a different time. Now she's going to call in at the guest spot time at 8:30.
So, yep.
And we'll get to play her newest song as long as... Roger will get it. We know Roger will get it put in there for us those last few minutes of the broadcast.
Yeah.
So that's the plan.
That's right.
The plan.
That's all right. We'll like I said, we just got to do what we got to do, and we totally understand that. So hopefully we'll have him back on in the next few weeks or so. That I don't know, and I also want to say right now that I don't know if anybody has been listening to 11 o'clock hour or not. You know, the praise the DJ hour or whatever. So got another one. Gary Cox. Gary Cox
Gary
got that
got
right.
It.
So
Woo!
Thank you, Gary. So David Hicks and Gary Cox made right Roger smile this morning. So there you go.
So they need like an extra special prize
right.
if one of them win.
But I mean, I have been excited about that 11 o'clock hour, and I tease Brother Aaron. Of course, I know that he said that maybe another DJ coming in sooner or later. But as of right now, you know, the songs he's playing and stuff, and I texted him and said, how in the world do you expect me to get anything done when the Holy Ghost moves on me like these songs are right now? But, I mean, I do encourage you to do that. And I know that there's several there that misses Brother Bob Martin as well.
Yeah.
Even Sister Linda that goes to our church, of course, my Aunt Linda, she would always tease me and Brother Billy all the time. Said, yeah, behind Brother Bob Martin, y'all are close second and third. He said, but Brother Bob's always, but she was just, you know, because she really got a lot out of that,
yeah.
out of that hour
too.
There.
Yeah, he's but a great teacher.
But I've told a couple people, I said, listen, you just need to go on his website, Challenge
yeah.
Ministries, and you can watch even live.
Any of them.
You can watch live even on their Wednesday night, and you can also, you know, any of the things that he puts out is all right there. It's a little bit different, though, than being somewhere and just listening to radio than actually having to get on the phone or whatever and tune that in and just all the ins and outs of it. But
yeah.
there is a way to do it if you want to. So
that's true. Challenge Ministries. And I don't know how many they have on their archive.
Yep.
But I know that they would have some on there.
Yep. Yeah. And because the little school thing that he does that he encourages families to get a part of, it's all on there as well. And so
the curriculum and stuff.
Yeah, and so all those things that he does with the Bible study and all that is on there. So anyway, but if you wanna do that, I mean, I know that it's there if you're able to. So got anything else?
Well, I'll save it for when Les comes on.
You'll save it?
I'm excited for these new songs.
Amen.
I'm always excited, but...
Yeah, he's even played some of her songs during the 11 o'clock hour. I don't know if
yes,
she's heard them
yes.
or not, but I have. So.
Yes, I heard one that he played the other day, and so I think that that's awesome. And I have enjoyed the 11 o'clock hour, being able to send in some requests. And...
Rachel's done got two. She said, hey, has he played these two? So she played them for me last night, and I said, I don't think so. I said, send them in. So anyway, and I know, but... And I do love that worship music. I really do, Hannah.
Uh-huh.
The music just to kind of work with and stuff like that. But there is some that maybe not like it as well as I do. You know
uh-huh.
what I'm saying? And, you know, maybe you worship something different. Just like Brother Chris that was here last Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
He, you know, we love to get together. I love his heart, and I love to worship with him. And he said, and I know y'all play them other songs that really we don't sing as much because
yeah.
we play some of the older ones. He said, but still yet, I love worshiping with you guys.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just about what's in it. And it's about, you know, knowing that, you know, as long as it speaks word into my life, that's what I want to hear. You know, everybody says, well, what if they're not doing this? What if they're not doing that? Listen, when I hear music, even when I hear worship leaders, I'm singing to the Lord.
Yes.
Okay? And, you know, I'm singing to Him. You know, I just don't want to sing about Him, but I want to sing to Him.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it's a different atmosphere, I believe, when you sing to the Lord. So I believe on my job site, when I'm singing to the Lord, guess what? It creates a different atmosphere.
It does.
And so, I mean, I really like that.
Hey, what happened with Paul and Silas?
Come on now.
The chains fell, the place shook, and people were running free. So.
That's right. So, no, but if you're able to during that hour, I know that it would bless you like it does me that hour. So, but and if you got a favorite hour, go ahead, tell us what that favorite hour is. You know, we're a radio station that loves to hear from the listeners,
yeah.
Right? And so say, hey, we really enjoy this hour. We'd like to hear this, like that. I mean, I'm still a kid at heart. I still love to hear Adventures in Odyssey on Saturday morning. It seems like every Saturday morning, if I got to go to get breakfast or if I got to go to the bank or something, it's like I always get to hear a little bit of Adventures in Odyssey. Then anyway, so, but the Family Altar Program seems like every Tuesday night when I go to a prayer meeting, I get to hear some of that. You know, it's just,
yeah.
It's just awesome how... That's what my radio stays on. And I mean, so it just blesses me all day long. So, but we ready to get Amen. Into some morning manna?
Yes, let's get into some manna.
All right. So we're going to 1 Peter 4:14 this morning. It says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory of and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but in your part, he is glorified. Doing the will of God brings a joy to the Christian that sometimes you can't put into words or explain. Being reviled for the name of Christ should bring a happiness about us that allows the Spirit of God to rest upon us. As we do what He has instructed us to do, we can expect from time to time to be reproached. Reproach will come to us by standing on the Word of God. So many right now are speaking evil about our Lord and for the true body of Christ. We must glorify God no matter what everyone else is doing. Have you taken the time to glorify God lately? Or have you forgotten about what He has done for you? You will be talked about, mocked, and ridiculed for standing for the name of Jesus. But I want to stand for Him and glorify Him as much as I can. Standing on the promises of God is something we must do. Be strong, stay strong, and we strong. And to be honest with you, when I wrote this manna, I wrote it up yesterday morning, I think early, then Rachel kind of put it into, kind of correct some things. But as I was thinking about standing for Him and being reproached, you know, what did we talk about earlier with children? You know, sometimes being talked about, being mocked, being ridiculed, being reviled.
Yeah.
If one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. That's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed. Now, we always hear people say, well, I want to be blessed. Well, do you want to be ridiculed? Well, do you want to be reviled? Well, do you want to be persecuted? I don't know about that. Well, according to the Bible, if you get those things, guess what? You're blessed.
Yeah.
Wow. What? How in the world am I blessed to get all those? No. But see, this is what he's saying. That so a reproach is something that tries to come against you. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye.
Yeah.
If you be reproached. So for the name of Christ. Why? Because nobody want to identify. They don't want to identify with Jesus. It's almost like, well, I want to talk about God or I want to do that. That's why over a period of even our media, sometimes you hear them talk about God. Why? Because everybody talks about, well, Allah can be their God. Lord, for all that matters, my phone can be my God. You know, even that little grandbaby I got on my phone right now, you know, that we can turn anything to a God. But my God has a name, and His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And, I mean, it's not about, you know, not about me having a God that I can put on the stand, you know, but it's about a God who holds me in the palm of His hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. So if our happiness determines on how much we are reproached for the name of Christ, then how happy are we right now? Are we happy enough to where we've had to battle some things, but still yet through it all, you know, You know, even in this world, I remember working with a gentleman that, you know, in construction world, me and another guy was talking about this yesterday. In the construction world, you better have some thick skin. Mm-hmm. If you work in a factory, I hear this from people that's worked in factories before. I've got a cousin, Ethan, that works in a factory. And he says, to be honest with you, if you don't have a backbone, well, I mean, people run you off because of just things that are said and just things that are joked about and things like that. You got to stand up. You can't just let it get to you. You got to fight back. You know, so if we went off of them saying this or them saying that, and then we're not able to stand, but it says right here, if you're persecuted because of me, happy are you? Mm. So now how happy you want to be? So, I mean, I want to make sure that I stay in a place of where not only I try my best through all those things to be happy, but also I want to cause that same happiness to be in everybody else I see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like I told him the other day about how I love to talk. You know, I love to speak to people, and I don't care if I know them or not. You know, that's, I told him the other day, I said, that's why I don't like self-checkout. And self-checkout, you just there, you go through the self-checkout, nothing, you're not waiting or nothing, you're just going through. I said, if you get in line, most time you're waiting, guess who's there? Somebody's there. So if somebody's in that line, guess who's getting talked to from me? I don't care if I know them or not. They're going to hear something about you had a good day. How you doing? What's going on today? You are, you know, just, and I don't have to know them because that's what I like to do. You know, do what you can do for the kingdom of God. You say, well, I'm not like that. Well, that's okay. You know, because you still got stuff that you do that I can't do.
Yeah.
That's why I always will always express to people how important it is for you to share your testimony because you can touch people that I can't. You know, and I mean, I know I say this a lot. I mean, if we got new listeners this morning or whatever, but I remember me trying to actually minister to somebody that's been addicted to alcohol or addicted to drugs before. And he opened my eyes on something. Because, Hannah, I've done things that were wrong, okay? But I've never, like, talked in legal drug. I've never sipped no alcohol or nothing. But I've done things that were wrong, that were sin, that would cause me to miss heaven. You know, that was not my thing that I had to battle, but I had to battle other things. But I was trying to minister to him, Hannah, and tell him about Jesus and tell him just give it all to Jesus. He looked at me right in the eye, and he goes, you don't even know what I'm going through. And I began to think for a minute. You're right, because I ain't been there. But now he's a man of God that's doing a great work for the Lord, that the Lord's turned his life around. Mm. I said, do you remember those things you told me? I said, now guess what? Now you can go out and you can minister to those kind of people because you've been there. I haven't. I said, wow. Those are the people that you need to minister to because
so
you have been there and I haven't. I said, you remember what you told me? I said, now I'm going to tell it right back to you. There's a people that you need to go minister to because you've been there and I haven't.
Yeah.
I said, that's how you reach people that I can't.
But you know, the beauty of that is even though you couldn't understand and you know, somebody else may have came along and been able to help in that way, like you were still there. Like you didn't turn him away.
Right.
And I think that does a lot too, is when even when somebody who doesn't understand, hasn't been where you're at, if you have a pastor or a leader or just a friend, a coworker that will listen to you and not judge you, not turn you away and like love you. I think it does more than what we even realize.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus did.
That's right.
Jesus, you know, he was perfect.
Yeah.
So if we want to talk about, you know, not being where, you know, we were, he never sipped of anything. He never did anything either.
Yeah.
But he was there. Like he, and that's what I love about the kingdom is, but he also told the ones who were in that place to go tell, go share, go tell the city of what I've done for you.
Right.
So that's why we need the one that's been there to go share their testimony, but we also need the ones who have never been there and who have walked in the example in certain areas.
Right.
To be able to say, hey, like you can be made new and your kids can walk like I've walked, like your kids can have the same testimony that I have of I've never tasted that. Yeah. I've never been there.
Come on.
And that's, I just think that's the beauty of it. It is, I just love that. I love that story because he was able to be a value in the kingdom that was needed,
yeah,
that you weren't able to meet. But you were able to meet something in him that he would have never,
yeah,
that had to open his eyes and give him hope that his future generations can be raised, yeah, the same way.
And he opened my eyes to it. Really, it did. Because everything, and I tell Brother Billy this often, I said, you know, everybody says, well, how do I get through this? How do I get through that? And hey, I'm the world's worst about not really knowing exactly at that moment what I need to tell him. Then I'll play it off and say, you just need to give it to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But then when you just tell somebody that and they don't know how to give it to Jesus,
yeah,
I'm more or less just, I shouldn't have said it.
Yeah.
Because when you tell somebody that don't know how to do something and you say, oh, just give it to the Lord and just walk off, it's almost like they're more confused now than they've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean give it to him? I don't even understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's not like, you know, so, and I'm reminded also that when we're there witnessing to people, I'm reminded about a great friend that I lost a few years ago. His name was Brother Jeff Miller, and he was going through a rough time in his life. And the very first day that I worked with him, and I was thinking about being around construction workers, having thick skin. You know what I'm saying? Everybody try to get you to do this, try to get you to do that. And something that was always says to brother to Josh was, and they played it as a game, really. They'd done stuff that I didn't, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't right. They said stuff that I didn't. It wasn't right. And they would always say, you know, they'd ask each other what you got. And that didn't mean good stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to, yeah, say that. And so this one gentleman that I worked with the very first day, they asked me, said, why, Josh, what you got? You want some? I said, I got Jesus. I said, do you want any?
Mm.
And so when I said that, I mean, that's just what I do. You know what I'm saying? I try to live for the Lord.
Yeah.
Have I done things wrong? Yes. But then that one gentleman I worked with the very first day, he ended up being one of my best friends that I lost a few years ago. But he took me to the side. He looked me right in the eye the very first time. I had never even met him. He said, what'd you say? I said, I got Jesus. He said, that's what I thought you said. He said, I'm exactly where the Lord wants me right now. He said, I needed to hear that. Because he'd gone back on the Lord. He'd done things that wasn't right. But from that moment on, he began to grow in the Lord. He began to advance and he became a great Christian and a great man of God. And, you know, he said, I just can't get some of it. So he loved cows, okay? I was talking about the straight and the narrow way. I mean, we would talk every morning. He'd call me. We call each other. I mean, that's a call that I miss getting right now. He passed away, you know, about 4 years ago. And so I would minister to him about cows because he loved cows. And I said, you know that path that a cow goes through in the woods? That it seems like, why do you go the same path all the time? And you wear out a spot in the ground. I said, actually, that reminds me of the straight and the narrow way. The pathway to Jesus. I want a path that's been wore out before me, like generations before me, that have paved the way for me just like a cow does through the woods. Makes, yeah, that same path. Well, a generation before me has made that path for me. So what? Then I know where to go and I know how to follow. I said, actually, you want to think how in the world a 1,500 to 2,000 pound cow can stay on a path that's like 3 or 4 inches wide?
Mm-hmm.
All right? You think, how in the world can a big cow do that? You know what I'm saying? Well, I ain't tell all over, you know what I'm saying? But it's about you, no matter who we are, understanding that this is a straight and narrow way. But the thing about it is there are going to be few going to find it. But the few that has gone before us and found it has made a way for us to follow.
Yeah.
So I said, stay on the path. And he would testify that. And he'd just say, oh, I can't tell you. Then he'd be the one out of 40 or 50 people we had working for us there. Me and him would be the only one that was living for Jesus.
Wow.
And if they would ever say anything wrong, he'd have my back. He'd get in the middle of it. He said, this man is a man of God. You better not be saying those words around him. And, I mean, he'd stand up for him. And, I mean, just to have that right now, it's just, I miss him. I miss him because it's somebody that we talk to every day. And you wonder, why, Lord? Why? I don't want to question God, but still, yeah, I may say, Lord, why'd that happen? You know, as a friend that I mean, sometimes, of course, there for the longest time, I'd wake up at 4 o'clock and go to work. So I was always up because I would leave for work like at 4:30, 4:25, 4:30, somewhere in there, because I'd be in Louisville at 5:35 for work at 6. And so we would always call each other early. But when I started my own little business and didn't really get up as early, mm-hmm. I got up at 5:30 or so. But he would still call me at 5. He said, "Get up, boy. Don't stay in the bed. You got to get up." And I would love to hear that, hear his voice and hear him talk to me. Because, see, the thing about it is he would start early. So if I didn't talk to him early, I didn't get to talk to him till the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I missed that. And so, but just to knowing that he made a difference in my life because he stood up for the Lord. He began to stand up for me. And I know that's what we need right now, is to stand up for one another. Because there's people out there that will try to get us to do anything. I don't know how many times people around me at that time would say, "I would love to be able to, the first one to be able to get you out on the town," they'd say, or something like that. And I'd say, "I bet you would. I'd love to be the first one to get you in the church and be, have you become a Christian. What about that one?" Then mm-hmm. I don't know. And yeah, exactly. So the same thing you want to do me to harm me is the same thing I want to do you to give you life.
Yeah.
So anyway, but
that's so true. And there's a reward that comes from standing your ground there with yeah. the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will help. You know, I truly believe. The you know the song, "Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow."
Yeah.
Grow.
Caller called in about the cow's path.
Yeah.
Said it's the easiest way to get to where they're going.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it. That's great. That's awesome. Thank yeah. you for calling in. Uh-huh. That's great. Awesome.
That's yeah. awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that when you do, when you keep that relationship close, and I've been on the end of, you know, not keeping my relationship as close as it needs to be. And maybe I didn't give in to everything that somebody tried to get me.
Come on.
But it was harder. It's harder to say no and to,
yeah.
and even, I feel like it wasn't as hard to say no when you know, the path has been laid out before you, you know what to say no to and what to say yes
yeah.
to. But I think it's harder to use that opportunity to witness
right.
whenever you don't have that closeness of reading your word, praying
yeah.
every day. And so I love that when you're, I know, Brother Josh, that, you know, you were walking with the Lord. If we're not walking with the Lord, we're not able to use every opportunity for
that's
his
right.
glory.
That's right.
You know, and that's something that I'm learning now is how to use every opportunity instead of just being offended, like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that person tried to say that to me." You know, like, as an immature Christian, we do.
Yeah,
we'll
exactly.
let it get our flesh upset, or like, "How dare they?" Like, you know, like
yeah.
what we were talking about earlier, instead of being happy,
right.
instead of rejoicing that yeah. we're being persecuted,
yeah.
we can get offended.
That's
and,
right.
and we see that throughout the scripture too, even with the disciples
yeah.
when they were growing in that. And so I'm thankful for the maturity in Christ that comes from walking with him and having like-minded, having accountability like you had with
yeah.
your friend.
So.
And so that's just awesome story. Well, we're about to our break here.
Yep.
We'll go ahead and get a song playing before the break. And we have both our trivia questions answered, so we're rolling along. And we have Les N. Downs coming on with us, and we will play her newest song as we go out of the broadcast
this morning.
That
sounds great.
So we'll, after we talk about that with her, then we'll get to hear that song as we go out of the broadcast. So we'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network, and we're just waiting on our call. She should be calling in any moment now, and so this is going to be a good time. It's always a good time to have Les
yeah, that's right.
on
that's
with
right.
us,
yeah.
and I just love this testimony that the Lord has taken her through just a season of healing and like deeper sanctification, and she said she's going by Les because the Lord took out the lies out of her life.
Wow.
Because the end of her
that's
name,
pretty, yeah.
the end of her name, L-I-E.
Yeah.
And so he's crossing out the lies and giving her a new name.
That's
so
powerful. That's good.
It is.
I know the last time that y'all had her on, I was working there at a job, and I just remember feeling the joy and also the songs in her heart. So
yeah, yeah.
I think she's on.
It's always a good time. Are you on with us, Les? No, not.
She ain't there yet.
Okay, we're getting some.
Yeah.
We're getting some things figured out in there.
So hopefully we'll be able to get it connected and Roger will be able to get it on, get her on with this. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll He'll see. Figure it out. Yeah. This isn't anything new to him. So we'll sometimes we just got to work it out. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's always a good time. And I just love her heart. Whenever she shared testimonies and stuff like that, we always get feedback coming in of people that are, you know, being touched or it's speaking to them. Speaking to their heart. And we've had some different people that have walked through similar testimonies that she's had.
So is she on with us this morning?
Hey.
Hi.
There we are. That is it.
That was a bumpy ride, but we arrived somewhere.
Wow. Hey. You know, some of the biggest blessings, you gotta fight your way through, you know?
Exactly.
That's right.
We would consider you a big blessing, so it's worth the little
same.
Bit of technical difficulties.
That's right.
Very much the same, yeah.
Well, Les, this is Brother Josh, and this is, of course, I knew that you go by Les now. Is that correct?
It is, yeah.
And then Hannah was telling me about how you got to that. So, I mean, I haven't heard all of that before, so I would like for you to expound on that and let me hear a little bit of how you done that.
Well, there was this whole kind of, I like to call it a journey of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And finding my birth father I'd never met and forgiving him in person. Wow. And not something I wanted to do, but God said to, and there was such a healing on the other side of that.
Wow.
Like just sitting in my car after having that conversation and having your birth father hug you for the first time in your life, and just some things that you don't realize are missing until they're there, and then you're like, oh my gosh, yeah.
Wow.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm crying, you know, and I'm like, Lord, is this healing? Like, am I healed now? Like,
yeah.
Is this what healed feels like? And like doing those things that I never wanted to do. Like, is this what it is? This why you wanted me to? And I lived in that for a couple days, maybe three, and then my adoptive family was laid on my heart, and I was like, oh no, you're right. I never forgave them either, and I was reading this book called Biblical Healing and Deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm reading this thing, stuff is just kind of coming up because you're working through a lot, you know, and you're taking those steps to really get down deep and see where things are hiding and expose them and heal them. Like, you know, those wounds that get covered over, but the infection's on the inside.
Yeah.
And you got to go through the hard, hurtful things to get to that healing, and then it feels so much better. But reached out to them and drove out to New Mexico, spent a week there, and my dad, you know, the man I'd known as my dad for 6 years of my life, was like, there was so much we couldn't tell you when you were younger. And I'm an open book, you know, ask your questions. I'll just lay it all out there. And he did. And I got so much of that gray area between what I knew.
Right.
And the truth. And in that gray area that the enemy had just played in my whole life, just was removed.
Wow.
It was removed. And so when I joined with the truth, what I knew, and then me finally knowing the truth, that gray area was gone, that torment was gone, the things that could be whispered to me, and I just took his truth, were like, I don't believe it. Like, I'm not accepting that.
Right.
I'm taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ.
There you go.
And to take something captive means it doesn't want to go.
Wow. Come on.
And so if there are thoughts in my mind that don't want to go with Christ, then they need to be taken captive and gone. So on the drive back, you know, I'm just feeling like a whole new feeling. Like I feel different than I ever have in my whole life. There is some healing that's occurred. There's a strengthening that happens inside yourself. A confidence that happens that just couldn't exist before. Just a lot of healing that went right on. And a lot of that was that forgiveness and being willing to step out into that uncomfortable thing and face that thing that you've been afraid of, that confrontation. And on the other side of that was healing.
Wow.
And I wonder how much in our life we're not willing to confront. And when we confront it, it can no longer, like, weigh on our back, like stay behind us, like lure over us, because we've turned and we've confronted it. It's to the front of us. We've faced it. We see it. We're like, oh my gosh, well, from behind me, you know, you seem like all of this. But when I turn and I look at you, that's not what you are at all.
Come on.
But as long as I let it go behind me where I couldn't face it and see it for what it is, my imagination was able to create whatever it wanted to.
Wow.
And so in confronting those things in my life, God showed me what they were for what they were, His plan, the fact that it wasn't that I wasn't wanted, but it was that God wanted me somewhere else. And it was just so much just uncovered for me. And
right.
I'm on the drive back, and I had been writing this story about my life, and I'm a songwriter, so titles are my jam.
That's right.
40 titles plus for this book, you know, like witty things. And I'm like, God, look, in my obedience to face these things and do these things, I really and just have not wanted to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some things in return. And I want to know, first of all, what you want this book to say. I want to know what the title is.
Yeah.
You tell me. Right. I don't want to pick it. You pick it.
So
and I want to know what the cover looks like.
Yeah. So did
you? I've struggled with that.
So you're saying you've got 40 titles as of right this moment?
No.
Okay.
When I went on that trip, that was part of my prayer with God. Was okay.
You.
Look,
yeah.
I want to know what title you want. Okay. I've got too many options. I keep coming up with more, and they're probably just song titles in the end, honestly. And so.
Wow.
Probably a whole
and so a back
whole slew of albums just waiting.
A backstory of that, or not backstory, but
right. Mm-hmm. But on the drive back from New Mexico, from doing all of that, I stopped to get gas at this little station in the Panhandle of Texas, like around 2 a.m. And when I stop and I put the brake on in the car at the pump, all of a sudden in my mind, God showed me a clear picture of the cover of the book. And the title was The Real Story of My Name. And at the top, at the time, I was going by Leslie. Leslie N. Downs was at the top. But when all I saw was Les. But when it turned in the light, which I've checked with the book printer, it's called translucent foil. When it turned in the light, it had the L-I-E part of my name with a mark through it.
Wow. Man.
So all I saw was Les N. Downs. And he said, I'm taking the lies that you've answered to since the moment you were born.
Wow.
And I was like, I will take that. Yes. Because what I feel right now on this road, like on this whatever cloud I'm driving on right now, just being set free from so much torment, so much pain, so much stuff that I held on to for so long. I'm like, okay, well, what's next? Let's do this. What's next? Like, what other uncomfortable situation do I need to confront so
wow.
I can get on the other side of it? Because this is great. And so there's a lot of just untruths that we let kind of lure from behind us. And when we turn and we face it and we look at it and we see it for what it is, we're like, oh, well, that's not true at all.
Yeah. So did you just say that it happened at 2:00 in the morning? All right, now I got a question on that if you don't care. All right?
Okay.
Now, when you was leading up to this gas station, was you in a moment of really seeking and trying to find it out, or you just appeared at the gas station, get gas, and all of a sudden, hey, that's it? How did that?
That's it.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I'm spending time with the Lord. I mean, I'm in the car for 40 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
Like 20 hours yeah. both ways. Wow. So the whole time was yeah. very much like just spending time with Him.
Yeah, so. Right. And I just think it's so amazing, Les, how at that moment where really you just thought, well, I'm just going to stop in here and get gas and be on my way. But at that moment when you've done something like that at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's when your answer comes. That's when the answer to what the book, I got
you know,
it
and
I
I'm thinking
it.
Right now, I just had a conversation with my mom day before yesterday because I had woken up that morning at 3 o'clock. Like, I remember looking at my phone, like seeing the time. I was like, it was exactly 3 a.m. and I could not go back to sleep for nothing. I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, that is the last watch.
Oh, man.
She's like, that's a prayer time. And this is coming to me right now as far as I was in the panhandle of Texas. I wonder if 2 a.m. in that panhandle is 3 a.m. here.
Huh.
I'm going to have to look at the time zones, but I think it is.
Right. Oh, I got you. Wow.
Right. I think it is.
I get you now. I got you going now. Man,
cool.
Yeah.
I'll awesome. Have to look at the time zone. I'm pretty sure that's over in the next zone. So.
Wow.
I think it's even prophetic that you were at a gas station because, you know, I'm serious. Think about the fuel. Like, you were filling up with fuel.
Oh, getting filled up.
Fuel that was actually going to take you in the direction that the Lord wanted to in your ministry,
wow.
and your family, and your life.
Yeah.
And before, you were filling yourselves with those lies, and that wasn't substantial wow. fuel. It
yeah.
didn't take you anywhere. It just kept you in the same spot. But then the Lord's given you this while you're at a gas station. Like, I don't know.
That is so cool, Hannah. Yeah.
I see that. And you know,
you got something now, don't you? Yep, you got more.
Yeah.
You got more.
Hey.
More in the tank.
Hey, revelation begets revelation. Yeah.
But even that, you know, when you were talking about when these things are following behind you, you can't see them for what they really are. It reminds me of, is it the prophet Isaiah that talks about how when we see Satan, we're going to be like, who?
Like what?
This is the guy? This
yeah.
is the guy
this
that
is what
caused
I've been afraid
me,
of.
This is the guy that caused so much, like, chaos and, like, so many people were tormented by, like, him? Really? And it's like, I feel like we don't have to wait until we physically see him to see him for who he is, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And I believe that's what you're saying. That's exactly what I think about when you shared that.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's
yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. So let's kind of transition. And I will say this, like, the book that she's talking about is not released yet, but it's a work in progress and it's going to be awesome because it's like a walk through a journey of your life. Right. And then like the before, like kind of like the Saul to Paul moment, but like the Leslie to Les moment.
Yeah.
And it's
we're the lie, like with the lie and without it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So very looking forward to whenever that comes out because I believe it's going to be really powerful. And but for now, you're in a season. The Lord is, you know, kind of blooming this season of your music. And I'm sure that the book and the music are going to go hand in hand because you've talked about before.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about before that it's the door, you know, it's the tools and the door that's going to lead you to be able to minister to people.
Absolutely. That's what it's all for. Anything inspired by the Lord is to inspire others to know the Lord. You know, like it's going to be something that draws us to know Him more.
Yeah.
Because you can never know it all. You can only know more. So
yeah.
The more you know Him, the more you want to know. And the more you're with Him, the more you want to be with Him. And some people just have never even acknowledged Him. And
right.
So there's a season right now I see that God showed me like a wide net. You know, like I'm casting this net. And it was really wide. And He's like, some music is woven to be a net that reaches further because you're standing in the boat. You're with me. You're with me in the boat. And it's this whole fisher of men type of thing that some of them are further from the boat.
Yeah.
And you can't cast this net of intimacy that's woven to be so close to me and cast that out and reach the ones that are further. Mm. And so it's all about kind of pulling people in. So I feel like some of the music that he's given me, it's going to reach a broader audience, but there is no hiding who it's about, what it's about, what it's for. It's just the type of music that it is, the way it sounds is going to, it doesn't sound like anything else that you hear Christian artists releasing. And so I really struggled with finding my place musically in Christian music, because my niche is, I don't know that it exists so much. as far as the style, you don't hear anybody else sounding the way I sound, and I struggled with that. And it's through that comfort in knowing who you are in Christ that, yeah. Hey, I'm not called to, like, carbon copy what anyone else is doing. I'm just called to create what I hear or what I write, what God's given me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, so
I think that's what sets it apart.
Yeah,
people, you know, I think that we think sometimes that it needs to fit the mold, but I think people are really hungry for something different and something unique.
Well, definitely is that. It's definitely different, but it's good.
Yeah,
it's really good. I'm proud of the project, and. Hannah put the background vocals on these last four songs that are coming out.
That's awesome.
And phenomenal job. I got sent the next release called Carrying, and he sent the new mix for that yesterday, and I was like, oh, she's going to love this. It's so good.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds so good. So, yeah, I was really thankful that she was willing to help out with some...
That's
some
awesome.
Background vocals and just add so much.
It was so fun. That was my. I told Josh. I told him earlier that I had a little like surprise for that.
So that's my surprise.
Yeah.
That's a surprise, right?
Yeah.
That's like, awesome.
Did I let the cat out of the bag?
No. I'm glad you did, because
did you want to see his face when your voice came up? He's like, wait a minute.
No. Because
wait a minute.
I don't know if you know. I don't know if anyone will notice, because it's blended so well. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they'll recognize that it's me, and it doesn't matter if they do, but it's just, it was so, such a fun and just an honor to be able to work on it with you, because I've seen how the Lord is using it. Like,
yeah.
We talked about this earlier, even though I didn't write the song, it's like, we're on the same team. Like the Lord allows us to reap from the blessings that come from what he's given and what somebody else has sown and labored in. And even just being able to labor a little bit at the end with you, like, it was just, it's an honor, and it was so fun. And I love that the Lord's, you know, he opens up our opportunities for what we do. Like, I love harmony. I love harmonizing so much, and it's like,
and you're so good at it.
I want to try.
Like, you find parts where I'm like, I didn't even know that existed.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome.
I love it. I love it. I really do. Like, I can't decide. I probably like people. I don't know if people would know this, because I do lead songs here at, like, on the worship team sometimes.
Yeah.
But I love harmony better than leading.
Really?
Because it's like, it's an art to me. Like, I can, when I can hear those harmonies, it's like, I don't know. It's like I know it's from the Lord. Like, I know it's, the Lord's allowing me to be able to hear those things.
Right.
And it's so fun. So, but that was a little surprise. I didn't tell Josh yet, but.
Yeah. Hey, Les, I know we've got a couple more minutes probably before we're going to play your song, probably about 3 or 4 more minutes here.
But
I want to ask you this. Do you remember being there at Madrid back about 15 years ago, 08 or 09, and we was doing the School of Ministry? And do you remember one night you were playing music for us? You were singing songs and different things. Do you remember the lights going out while you were singing? You remember that?
Oh.
Or not really? Well, all right, I'm going to tell you this. It did, but you kept singing. You know what I'm saying? You didn't let it affect you. I think we had a storm or something. All right. And then I think you sang 2 songs while all the lights were out. And there's a certain few guys there that was trying to get lights going and stuff like that, because we had some there. And about the time we had the lights set up to turn them on, Brother Lyndon got up to preach, and the lights come back on. It's almost like I don't know why, but it's almost like during that season, no matter what was around us, it's like it was not going to stop us from praising the Lord. And yes, almost like everything that we'd done to try to get lights there, he's like, no, I'm going to turn them back on. But during that season, I don't know why, you didn't let it affect you, and that's something I'll always remember, Les. Because, I mean, during that, we really didn't have a whole lot of people there at the time that could play music, but it's something that you was there a little bit with us in, during that school of ministry with Brother Lyndon Frost, and, you know, you just had your guitar, and you began to lead us in worship. But specifically, I remember that night, so.
That's so cool. Anyway, yeah.
Instant in and out of season.
That's right. So.
Amen.
But
well, do you have any words that you want to say to introduce this song before we play it? Because we have like probably 1 or 2 minutes before we're going to play it.
Yep.
All right. Well, I don't know, just the fact that it's coming out right now is very much just God's timing. I'm playing up at Camp Joy this week every night. And I mean, it's summer, and I'm playing at a camp, but like just totally just pouring sweat while we're playing. But these kids are just in it, and it's so encouraging to see the youth. It's middle school and high schoolers, and they're worshiping, and it's in this season. I'm stepping out of my position at the Baptist church that I've served at for 5.5 years. And it's just God's timing with that, because I don't know that I ever would have left, but circumstances came about that it's just time. And it's walking out in faith and not having any idea what's next, but I know who holds every moment, and he's provided at every turn. And just in that trusting him, where it's like I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm not, able to answer that question, do you have a plan? Mm-hmm. And it's like, to serve God, I think he's got the plan. I don't know that I'm supposed to make one right now. So,
And so the name of it is?
Oh, Trust in You, Lord.
Trust in You, Lord. Yeah. Inspired by Proverbs chapter 3, right? Lean on
Proverbs 3, yeah, 5 and 6.
That sounds great.
Trust in the Lord and lean not in your own understanding. Submit your ways to Him and submit to Him, and in all your ways He will direct your path and make your path straight. It's like, all right, well, if all paths lead straight to Him, that's the path I want to take. No matter how narrow, no matter how I've got to balance things and figure things out, if I'm standing on Him and I am walking towards Him and where He's leading me, I've got complete confidence in that. And
Amen.
It might look crazy to the world, but to me, it's like, this feels like so right. And it feels like it's what God's telling me to do. And I know that's where He's leading, so I'm just trusting that the next things that come are directly from Him, and I'm not in the way of any of them.
All right.
Amen. What an intro. What an intro. We're going to play Trust in You, Lord, and it's going to be out on Spotify everywhere. If you want to go to Les's page on Facebook, we'll go ahead and start playing that song, and you can find it. If you have any questions about where to find it, you can call the station 270-257-2689. And thank you, Les, for coming on with us. We love you so much.
Thank you so much.
We're
for
behind
me.
What
love
God's
you.
Doing through your music.